Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, CAS, that's the Cairns Alliance of Social Services, sets to challenge state candidates during Anti-Poverty Week webinar. We're going to catch up a yarn now with the chair of CAS, Davina Hicklin, on the line. Davina, very good morning, my sister. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really well. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming to the program. So, first of all, tell us about CAS and the work that you guys do there, and let's talk about the challenge state candidates during Anti-Poverty Week webinar.
Yeah. The Cairns Alliance of Social Services, it exists to be a collective voice for social change and to develop the sector skill base and basically to better serve our communities and to enhance cooperative capacity. So CAS's reach actually takes us from Cardwell in the south of the area to the Torres Strait Islands and out to the Gulf Savannah.
Okay, fantastic. And so your role, what do you guys actually do there?
So CAS is the advocacy body of the social services sector in far north Queensland. So we're the mob that takes it to the politicians, takes it to peak bodies, and we want to have those genuine, articulate conversations about how we can best serve our community.
So virtually having everybody at the table and voices can be heard, yes?
Absolutely. That's precisely it, Trevor. And having that collective voice is really powerful when we are talking to governments of all levels. So that's just not state. At the moment, we are talking federal as well as local. Everybody is involved in how best we can serve our communities.
Mm-hmm. And so how long has CAS been operating for, Davina?
Oh, we've been doing CAS now for 12 years.
Oh, there you go. So they say anything after 2 to 5 years, it's a good thing. And you're running for 12 years, so like ticking the boxes.
Yeah, absolutely. And our last campaign was with the community cabinet that came up to Cairns a couple of months ago. And we challenged the Department of Housing and particularly the Director General of Housing and Public Works to really look at engaging our immediate communities for increase in social and affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
It is, we are at crisis point in our electorates, and we have been for a number of years. And to come into the COVID crisis that we've experienced...
That was all exposed, wasn't it?
Ah, absolutely exacerbated. We have numbers across the nation that state, you know, 168,000 Queenslanders losing their jobs in the months up to May. And then we're also looking at 116,000 people leaving the workforce altogether.
So then we're talking about a snowball effect from no jobs to no money coming in to, poverty and no shelter and, no man's land. It's very scary, isn't it?
But it's real scary. And I think the proposition now is that the effect of poverty and the fear that COVID health crisis has actually exposed has made it very real for a lot of people who would not normally be in this position. So, you know, when you look at national data showing 168 rental properties would be affordable for people on job seeker payment, what does that say? It says we're in a crisis.
Exactly. When those numbers are high, that means we've got a problem.
Exactly. And what it requires, Trevor, is a multi-partisan approach. So whether you're, whatever your political alliance with these candidates, we really need to address this. And what better time to do it than Anti-Poverty Week? There are systemic structures in place to basically keep people in poverty. And that has never been shown more starkly than this year. When the federal government introduced the COVID supplement payments, Job Seeker, Job Keeper, across the sector, we saw a decrease in calls for assistance for rent. And we saw an increase in people being able to reduce their debt.
Yes.
So what does that say about our systemic structures in supporting those people, those vulnerable people? It says that we really need to do something here. And it needs to, and it's a multi-partisan approach for a solution.
Well, if you've got a bit of a leak, you you block the leakage, so you don't have a wall breakage, you know what I mean, and then a flood, so to speak. It's about acting on the so-called leak, and there is a problem here. At the table, who do you converse with? Do you converse with the politicians or the MP, the Member of Parliament at that point in time, or the candidates running for those positions when it comes to election time? How do you have those conversations? And there, Davina?
We challenge everyone, Trevor.
Okay.
We challenge everybody because regardless of whether whatever government is in power, we need that support across the board. And if more voices are added to that argument to stress this crisis...
Yeah, the better it is.
The better it is.
Yeah.
You know, so to help people, you know, not having to make the choice of, hey, do I pay rent this week or do I pay the electricity bill?
Yeah.
Well, if I pay the electricity bill, I'm not going to be able to spend much money on food this week. They are real conversations.
Of course, exactly. Well, you pay the rent, but then you're in darkness for the week because you got no, didn't pay the electricity bill. It's,
exactly.
You know, and this is the 21st century. This shouldn't be happening, Davina.
Absolutely agree, Trevor. And I think we have gone through a period from the early 70s of neoliberalism narrative that really puts the blame of poverty onto the individual. Now, when I speak of systemic structures being in place to keep people in poverty, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about those job seeker amounts of people just not being able to pay for those essential human right items of the everyday.
So you've got a webinar happening. So when's the webinar happening? And can anybody join the webinar?
Absolutely. So that is open on Thursday. It commences at 3 p.m. and it goes for approximately an hour.
Mm-hmm.
On the CAS Facebook page, it has the links to register, and it also has a link to allow people to submit their questions and or discussion topics for the candidate.
Okay, fantastic. And that's this is a coming 3 p.m.
Yep.
Cast the webpage for CAS there, please.
So we don't have a webpage. We fully utilize the Facebook platform. It's accessible to everybody.
The Facebook page, Cass, and that's CASS, which is Cairns Alliance of Social Services, yes?
That's right, Trevor.
All right, fantastic. Look, great talking with you, Davina. I think it's a fantastic organisation and having people and constituents at the table to converse their needs and their wants.
Excellent. We're really looking forward to it.
All right, well, you take care, Cass, and thank you for the chat and all the best to you and your team and your family. Stay safe.
Thanks, Trevor, and to you.
Bye, Cass. Bye-bye. There is Davina Hicklin from CAS. That's chair of CAS. Davina is the chair and look fantastic. CAS sets to challenge state candidates during Anti-Poverty Week webinar. So the webinar is happening Thursday 15 October, webinar on 3 p.m. So do check that out. Champion Equality is the name of the title there. Have you saying Yana Strong here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yana with the ball here on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BB and Bumble Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give the Murray call, let's have a yarn. 1-800-422-416.
Won't you hold me tight? No more lonely nights. Lord, whisper your name in my ear.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416. A very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim Trinity, Trevor Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbra Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. That number again, 1-800-422-416. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with a new appointed CEO for Kasanam. And Kasanam, the Congress of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives. And it is Professor Roy Ann West, who happens to be my beautiful cousin, and got on the line. I say, Professor Roy Ann, very good morning.
Morning, Trev. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for coming along and to the program. And I'll say now in our family way, Makazi. How are you, darling?
Which way?
Which way? Learn there. Shout out, my sister. Listen, thank you very much for coming to the program. Congratulations on your new appointment. The chairperson, Marnie Atuala, has and the team has brought you to the table. The board have signed you up as the new CEO for Kasanam. So let the mob know who Professor Roy Ann West is.
Yeah, so Trev, obviously family. I'm a Murray from the Curry too. So yes. Born in Cloncurry and raised the first 20 years of my life between Cloncurry and Mount Isa, so on mum's country.
Yep.
And then after finishing my nursing degree, it's taken me all the way from Mount Isa across to the east coast and now down in Canberra.
Okay. So tell us about Kasanam and the deadly organisation there, and what's your vision for Kasanam and for our people?
Yeah, so Kasanam is the peak advocacy body for Aboriginal and Torres Strait nurses and midwives across the country. We've got about just over 3,000 nurses and midwives, Trev, which might sound like a lot, but yep. in comparison to the rest of the nursing and midwifery population, we're only approximately 1%.
1%. So there's room for improvement. And a message to young ones out there, look at a career path in nursing and midwives, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of reasons, Trev. One, because it's a really, nursing and midwifery is a really good vehicle to fulfill your cultural obligations to want to make a difference in your community,
mm-hmm.
Just given the overrepresentation of our mob across the health system, and couple that with the role that and the strategic places that nurses are. So for you fellas up in Cairns, there's nurses all the way up the Cape
yep.
to the Torres Strait, and they're a majority of the health workforce. And imagine if all of those non-Indigenous nurses in those communities were actually Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nurses and midwives from those communities.
That would be a fantastic goal, would it not, Kazi?
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. Yep.
And so let's talk about Kasanam. Where's the head office? Where is it based?
Yep, so the base is actually in Canberra. The base has been here since the former CEO, Janine Muhammad. So I think about 6 years now it's been based down in Canberra. But I have the opportunity to set up its first branch in Queensland in the southeast corner. So it'll be between Brisbane or Gold Coast.
Look, fantastic. That's a nice nice vision and nice move there. So there's no other branches outside the head office?
No, not at all. There's some of the other Indigenous workforce peaks have staff that work remotely, and certainly that's what COVID presented to us, isn't it, is different ways of working.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people will say you need to be in Canberra where you're closer to where all the funding buckets are just to be visible. But I'm really interested in being more closer to our members.
Yes.
As well, because if we're the peak advocacy body for them, I've got much higher likelihood of running into them sitting up in the southeast corner and travelling around Queensland, New South Wales, where a majority of our members are sitting, as opposed to sitting in Canberra.
Sure. So the role for Kasanam, it's about supporting our nurses and our midwives, First Nation people, yep?
Yeah, absolutely. So to get those numbers up, Trev, represent Indigenous nurses first and foremost, because with all of those 3,000 that we've got working across the country in a variety of environments, there's a lot of challenges around systematic racism.
Yep.
So in order to keep those numbers where they are and going forward as opposed to going backwards, it's how do we work with them and work with the unions to ensure that any issues that come up in their workplace, that they've got the appropriate support to be able to handle those matters.
Well, I'm also looking at Casanam as a vehicle to educate the so-called doctors and the nurses with higher positions in communication and working with our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nurses and midwives, as in that bridge, cultural bridge, communication, education. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Cultural safety is definitely one of the major priorities for Casanam, for non-Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal nurse and midwifery colleagues. And I think that's a really important piece of work, but I strongly believe it shouldn't be at the detriment of the self-determination of our people. Mm. So because we only make up for 3% of the population, you can inadvertently end up responding to the other 97% and almost forget the 3%, Trev.
Yes.
So I really think that, you know, my priority is around how we build Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nurses and midwives. How do we build them into leadership positions? So most of them are sitting at the lower,
yes,
the middle level, whereas we need more executive directors of nursing and midwifery, chief nursing and midwifery officers, where the decisions are being made about the way things are done, Trev.
And look, and when you're talking about, well, nothing beats better than black on black. And when we're talking about our nurses and our midwives dealing with our mob, well, to me, they become professors. And so the so-called doctors and nurses in a higher level with authority have got to, how you say, swallow a bit of ego, a bit of pride, and be a student at the table, yes?
Absolutely, and we always promote cultural humility for exactly the situation that you're talking about.
Yep.
And we really want to work to ensure that the Indigenous knowledge that our Indigenous nursing and midwifery work comes with is acknowledged, because often as nurses and midwives, once we graduate, some of us are told to leave our culture at the door.
No way.
That's the reason why we actually done our nursing and midwifery. So we've got a lot of work to do in the profession, acknowledging that Indigenous knowledge actually enhances the profession.
Yeah, sure. Fantastic. So when you're talking about your position and your studies as professor, just give a bit of background regarding professor. Professor in what field, my sister?
It's professor in First Peoples Health, Trev. So when I actually started, my first qualification was a Certificate 3 in Business Admin, I just want you to know.
Yep.
And I'd like to keep that on my resume as
Thank
well.
Thank you.
We probably only completed a Bachelor of Nursing because it come to Mount Isa, and had that opportunity not come about, me, Leona and Laurie probably would not be nurses, because we'd never intended or never aspired to university, let alone to leave Mount Isa, and nursing just provided us
a J-O-B.
And provided so many opportunities. It was something we had never envisaged.
Sure. And so when you look at that, well, you mentioned your lovely sister, twin, Leona, and also your brother, Laurie, also your daughters as well, twins.
Yeah.
So all nurses, yes?
All nurses, dad, three sisters, all nurses, and Aunty June Barton, first Aboriginal nurse. So we're third generation nurses. We're the first university trained nurses, and the twins are doing nursing and midwifery, so we've inherited a very strong legacy.
Yes.
And a legacy that we want to take to the next level. So nursing in Aboriginal health is more than a job for our family, Trevor, as you know.
Yes, exactly. And so not only looking at your twin sister and your brother, but your two daughters, it's like they had to do this field, otherwise you get cut from the will, sister.
Little bitches, they tried to do psychology and they only lasted 2 weeks. That's, I think,
right.
They just wanted to do it to piss me off, and I said, I told them.
Mother knows best. Look, it's too deadly, my sister. Thank you very much. I'm feeling, hearing excitement in your voice and the position, your new appointment as the CEO of Casanam, with your background, fantastic. And I believe Casanam are in good hands and the future looks bright, my sister.
Yeah, thank you, Kelsey. Take care, and I look forward to seeing you in April next year at our conference up there.
Yes, lovely. We'll be in touch. You take care. All the best.
Bye-bye.
Bye, darling. Our beautiful yarn there, Professor Roy Ann West, knee slash cousin Royanne Wiss, who's the new CEO appointed, CASANAM, the Congress of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives. And so fantastic, in the job now and working with our mob. And has got her sister, twin sister, and her brother who are nurses, and also her two daughters who are twins nursing. And her mother worked in health for many years. And it looks still working fantastic. So beautiful to see. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, that daily number 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BB and Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give the Murray call, let's have a yarn. 1-800-422-416.
Patiently waiting for someone I ain't never seen before to say he's a captain of men, but ain't believing our love. From the land of the white skin, he's self-righteous, a murder without license. With the spear, I'm the nicest, thinking that I might just wait till night hits. Then I move in silence, when the moon at its highest, and my soul is defiant. I'm consumed by desire to kill. Any white devil wanna test my will, then he finna get burnt by the fire I feel. Look him in the eye and hold his spirit still. He's hoping I don't catch him, but I know I will.
Stand on the shoreline, coming. Mother wanna cross mine, wanna take it from me. Fire in my eye, but we ain't running. Wanna murder, let's ride.
Say that it came in peace, but our blood still stains the beach. Roll the dice, we gon' play for keeps. The sacred place ain't a place to preach.
No, no, no.
No white faith and a black belief.
No, no, no.
Better pray that our spears don't reach. He's cold, white, hot, I'ma make it bleed. Leading to the first fleet, sicker than disease that he bring from overseas. No matter where you flee, I will always be. In the darkest of night, your descendant will see me.
Standing on the shoreline, come in, come in. Mother wanna cross mine, wanna take it from me. Fire in my eye, but we ain't running. Wanna murder, let's ride.
Bagan, bagan,
you, Mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM, Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, next segment we got. Which way? Run his mouth and teeth and for somebody else. Which way yarning? That's the program. Which way yarning? It's proudly sponsored by Pekoni, IGA, Brinsmead, Edmonton. They give us a box of fruit here once a week. And we talk about healthy living, healthy lifestyle with our school based traineeship. And big shout out to all our deadly students and working behind the scenes and working frontline as well in regard to Indigenous media. And we're going to catch up now with Senior Constable Nicole O'Rourke, who's got a couple of guests with her, PLOs. We've got Marlies Dalton and Tony Benny on come to join us. A very good morning. Nicole, how are you, my sister?
I'm well, thank you.
Jose, shut up, get the microphone going. Good morning, my sister. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. And look, our yarn today is with your two guests, PLO, Police Liaison Officer, Marlies Dalton. A very good morning, my sister.
Thank you, Trevor. Good morning to you and everyone out there.
Thank you. And you brought your bodyguard, Tony Bunny. Hey, my brother. Bunny, how are you going?
Hey, good. Thanks, Trev. How are you?
Yeah, good, good, good. Start with you, Tony. Who your mob? Where are you from?
Trev, I'm from the Torres Strait. Mm-hmm. So my island's Mabuyog. So I come from a tribe called Wagadagam. Wow. And that's up in the north there.
Beautiful. Lovely footprint there. And you, my sister, Marlies. Who your mob? Where are you from?
Yidinji. So through my dad, Donald Murray. Yes. He was... born over at Yarrabah back in the days when it was designated an Anglican mission there. Mm. And and then since 1947, that's when Mum and Dad moved off the out of the area, out of the mission. Mm. And went and lived in Babinda. And I grew up in Gordonvale. So,
all right,
yeah.
Fantastic.
So Yidinji is our mob, yeah.
Yidinji, fantastic. And you are also the one who been give birth to the one to your left there, and that's Senior Constable Nicole O'Rourke.
That's
you
right.
You brought your mummy in, did you?
I did. I brought mummy
in
for show and share.
Show and share.
Yeah.
And you are an officer. She's PLO, so you outrank her.
I don't know how to answer that.
Thank you, that's right. And that's only with the blue uniform on, but when you get at home, it all changes, eh?
So just for 8 hours while we're at work.
Yeah, thank you.
And then that's when it stops.
It changes. Yeah. That's right, exactly.
All the talk and the balance of power. And
yeah. Out the window when the uniform's off. Fantastic. Look, thank you very much, Kevin. I think it's fantastic. Let's just quickly talk about that conversation, how it came about. With you being a police officer, Nicole, but is a father, was a police officer. Paint that picture and why it runs in the blood, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right. Dad was a police officer. He only just spent almost 42 years in the Queensland Police Service, and he retired a couple of years ago.
Mm.
And his grandfather was also a police officer.
Oh.
Many, many years ago.
So you had to join the force, otherwise you get cut from the will, sister. Was that the case?
Not quite, but it was a good. It's been a very good career move for me, for both personally and professionally.
Good.
It's given good direction to my life.
Yeah, beautiful.
In both those.
It's
ways.
A case of Cairns, Far North Queensland, here in Australia, blue blood.
Mm.
We should make a TV series out of that.
Yeah.
Magnum PI. Yeah, thank you. So blue blood, fantastic. Tony, bring you into the conversation, my brother. So how long have you been a PLO?
Trevor, I started, been in for 22 years now.
22 years.
Yes, 25 all up, but I was a community police on the island before
sure.
becoming a PLO, yeah.
So you started when you were 3 years old, because you look 29, brother.
Thanks. Yeah,
and enjoying the role, brother?
Yeah. This job has its ups and downs.
Like any job. A lot of life.
Because I work back in the Straits there, so a lot of the people you deal with is like your family members.
Yeah.
And it is very tiring and tough.
Yeah, tough, yeah. Sometimes you make them hard calls.
Yeah.
And that's uncle that you make yarn for or your small cousin there, but Balaga be strong here.
True.
Wear the uniform.
And the good parts with this job, like I went places. So I was at the water police for 2 years, did search and rescue. So you get to jump in choppers, do a lot of stuff.
Mm.
And you fly around the countryside, going court circuits and stuff.
Too deadly. So how long have you been PLO then?
22
years. Is there aspiration to become a police officer?
I think when I was younger, yes, but I think then I just lost because a couple of families that I think went through the service had difficulties. One transferred back up there, but then the service wouldn't give them accommodation because they were from there. Okay. So there's little that so I like inside I thought, oh, you know, this is still happening, and there's a lot of that them and us type of thing back. Sure. This is going back in the early 90s.
You see, that has changed.
I think it's got QPS has come a long way, and
good. And it needs to.
Yeah, and I think the best thing is I think having us introduced after the Black Death in Custody. I think having us here, you know, building that bridgeway for the community and the police.
Yes.
But I think there still has to be more recognition. I think from the QPS itself.
Sure.
The job we're doing on ground.
Yep. And that's from a black perspective. Marlies, with yourself, how long have you been a PLO, my sister?
Oh, since 2014. And before that, I went to the academy in Oxley there in Brisbane, and I was a facilitator training recruits at the academy. So classroom training, learning about legislation and policy, and the teaching model back then, or it still is, I believe, is having a sergeant and you have a sworn officer, and you have a civilian officer, such as myself and others. So you have that nice combination of police knowledge and experience, and the other side is the community person's knowledge and experience. And that meant to bring a balance to, you know, recruits and, you know, help them to see the world, not in a totally blue way, but have it bring a nice balance to it.
Exactly.
Yes.
Nicole, bring in a conversation, my sister. When you look at PLOs, working with our mob, it's a good bridge builder in regarding communication with our mob on the ground, so to speak. What's the relation between an officer, Queensland Police, with PLOs?
With my experiences is that a PLO's position is a full-time position on its own. And it's not something that, to be honest, it's not something that I don't think I could do it as well as the PLOs that we have now. And that's simply because the PLOs know what they're doing. They have those pre-existing established relationships. They know who's who. They know who's to be speaking to and who's to leave alone, and who's related to who and who's fighting.
Sure.
So the relationship between a sworn officer and a PLO is extremely important in any community.
Yes.
But especially in communities where it's quite isolated, communities where there's a lot of tension between police and the community, with bridges have not yet been built.
It's a nice, glue for cultural communication for officers, you know, especially non-Indigenous officers working with their mob.
Yeah. And there's a lot to be learned from PLOs when you come into the service. A lot.
Yep.
Not just, and it's not just I'm not just saying from an Indigenous point of view. There's a lot to learn from PLOs because a lot of them have been around a very long time.
Sure.
Like Tony, he's been in
for exactly. a long time. Exactly. Tony, back into your conversation regarding the program that you guys are running, PLOs, with Return to Country program. Please explain what that's all about.
Yeah, that one's done down the city bit. The Return to Country, it's designed to get our families, the homeless ones, off the street and back to community. Currently, I think, you know, if you drive around Cairns, you'll see there's a lot of family members sitting on corners or drinking, you know, just down the parks and stuff. So we've been trying to get the message.
Well, a lot of our mob come from the Cape York, in this instance, in this area, and from the Torres Strait, for medical reasons or work reasons or, you know, family, sorry, business, whatever. Yep. And then they get stranded here.
Yep.
So then they're no man's land, so to speak, yeah?
Yeah, and so this one's designed. So if you've, there's criteria there that you must pass, which the biggest one is you must be homeless for 3 months.
Okay.
You know, if you're, you know, rough sleeper, couch surfing and stuff, but have no permanent address here in Cairns. Okay. But, you know, for you to pass, we'll do our checks from the police side of stuff.
Yes.
And then we'll contact the community to make sure that you're still welcome back there, depending on if you got, you know, for court or other reasons that you got, you know, moved from there.
Like you're welcome. Okay, you got to know the ins and outs of
we'll
that.
So we'll do that. We'll do that groundwork as well for you. And also once that comes back and you're good to go, we'll put that submission through to whoever flies up to the communities, and they say yep. But they'll see on their system if you've come down for medical and you've missed the flight. So they'll there's grounds there where they'll go, now you've done this on purpose, so you must be homeless. Like
gotcha.
it's a one-off trip. It's not like I'm just gonna go for.
So don't abuse that position or don't abuse the program.
So you won't get approved. Like I got to go Tombstone this weekend and can I come back? It won't work. It's only for. We'll check with the homeless hubs and all the shelters.
Sure.
And they'll have, they'll tell us like, he's been here for 90 days or 40 days, and he's been.
And this is mainly run by PLOs.
Now, this is down the city beat. So
okay, right. Yeah.
So any inquiries, we've left the number there.
Yes.
So all we do is we'll contact the person, make sure that they want to go home, and then we'll start that conversation with them.
All right.
And so it'll cost them $99, but we've got Centrelink and Woodshopron. All these guys are on board.
Yeah,
so if you got no money this week, so we'll take you to Centrelink. They'll help. They'll get the process, the money process.
All right.
So they'll.
So
pay
it still comes out of your sort of funds.
Yeah. So they'll give you like that payment in advance, but just that only
payment in advance. Only okay. For right that, only just
for
to get them home.
Only for that to buy that ticket. So we'll take them up and get that ticket, bring them back, drop them at the shelter.
Yep.
They will pick them up the next day to
take them to the airport, whatever. Catch that flight home.
It's so once we take care of it.
Oh.
We don't let go until we put you on the plane to go home.
So how long has Return to Country program been operating for?
Look, to be honest, I don't know.
Would you know, Marlies?
Off the top of my head, about before.
Yeah, it's
before I came into this role in 2014, but I understand it's been operating. It could have been 2009 or 10.
So we got one auntie back last year.
It's got a bit of history. Yeah.
Sure,
yeah,
good.
We got one auntie, like 78-year-old auntie back to Arakun last year.
Yes.
And she was stranded here, and she wanted to, and when we said it was good, she just cried. She said, I can't wait to go home.
Fantastic.
Fresh fish.
Yeah, beautiful. Exactly.
And a lot of that stuff that we take for granted, I think, back home, where we come here to this no man's land.
Yeah.
And you got, oh man, I'm hungry. Where back home, you got
family there, Kaiko there, whatever, you know.
And you can get it, you know.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
And that's also getting back to country. You know, once you put your feet on your country, you know that it brings a bit of a lot of well-being and a lot of, healing at that time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's it's a great program. Well, it's working, been operating for so long.
There's like checklists, like medical has to be done, which Will for Wellness there, that they come and they do it through, I think, Quigley Street. So if someone's from there, so we'll get them to do that medical done. So once that's all done, then we take it from there.
Well, exactly. So because we're talking about if they're down here for medical reasons and then they get stranded, or before just putting them on a plane, we need to do the so-called
due diligence to make sure
they're okay.
Yeah, because we don't want to just Band-Aid and send them back. And our people are not.
So Return to Country program. I love that. Regarding PLO, and we're talking here in Queensland, as in Queensland GP, Queensland Police, QPS, Queensland Police Service, is PLOs operating in other states and territories?
Yes, they do.
They do, good.
The variation is in the title, though.
Okay.
I believe they're they're called, in the Northern Territory, they've got another name, title.
Yep.
In WA. And Victoria.
Yep.
And
so all states and territories do have similar PLO positions. Yeah.
And the idea, it, like Tony said before, it was born out of the recommendations from the Aboriginal Deaths in Custody Inquiry.
Yep.
That brought, I think there was something like 339 recommendations, some of which pertain to police.
And look, to me it also stamps out racism, you know, no matter what we're talking, whether we're talking workplace, talking on the sporting field, in this situation, police, humans are humans, and some people are just racist, and it comes out in regard to their decisions and how they act, and sometimes with the uniform on, they push that authority in a racist manner. To me, this helps stamp that out in regard to racism, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Working alongside a black person, you know, with the uniform on, education and openness for conversation and learning, I see that as a tool,
It is. sometimes learning isn't just sit someone down in the classroom and, you know, oh, today we're going to go through and talk about, you know, the colonisation and the effects of colonisation and contemporary issues and understanding, you know, why someone is, our mob are homeless or, you know, like in circumstances. But trying to build someone's capability and understanding as to why these situations happen.
Yes.
You know, how our mob typically have big households, as do other people, but this is predominantly, and we're talking about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander families and communities where, you know, there's a house full of people. We grew up in a house full of people.
Exactly.
And I always wondered when, you know, like mum made ends meet with, you know, like food and, and but everybody, we got
chips
by.
In. Yeah, got by. It's even a family
helping,
affair.
That's right. And even helping, you know, raise the younger siblings.
Exactly.
My older sister helped mum raise us younger ones. Yeah. I'm second youngest of 10. So, but people these days, so generations later, a couple of generations later, people... Parents now, we need to support households and family.
Yeah.
Those households who have got a lot of children and children who need, you know, feeding, clothing, all those sorts of things. But how do we now bring that understanding to someone who is, that's not their experience or
that's
their
not their life,
or,
their culture, whatever,
what they're reading about, you know, how they're informed through
and
their
the perception
own
is way different, not understanding.
It is, that's right. So I think when people work with us, Tony and Nicole and others, we explain things as and they see us, they hear about how we talk and our explanations on the job as we go.
Yeah.
And I think little by little is that's how someone you can change attitude about things.
You can.
It's the way you think about things and look at things.
Fantastic.
The biggest one I think is just like the cultural barriers, I think. Like when you had the new officers come through, I think the biggest one is like, you know, coming from Brisbane, I think a kid from Brisbane coming to Cairns, and then you get exposed to all this different culture here in Cairns, and then you go from here up to the Straits, or to the Cape itself, different again. Like
that's right, brother.
And so, when I was on TI, there we did a lot of cultural awareness for the young coppers, and and the biggest one I tried to say that we're Indigenous, our cultures, you know, two different cultures. You can't just go, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander.
One size fits all.
Yeah. Two different cultural groups. So when you come here, you have to learn the
different
dynamics
mob,
of how
country.
We operate, you know, how we do. There's some similarity with a lot of the cultural stuff that we do, but you can't just go, I know you. You know, it's different.
No, it's different, exactly.
And, but just the do's and don'ts and like with the sorry business, a lot of that stuff. So when something happening on the island, so we'll notify. So if there's a court there and there's sorry business there, they'll postpone the court. So the court, and a lot of them ones understand and they respect that up there.
Exactly.
We talk about cultural and community protocols as well, and you know, respect, and especially respect for our elders. It's the sorry business, sad business.
Right.
And Trevor, I also must mention that part of our training and cultural training for first year constables. So when they come here to join us in our district. So through the education and training unit, we're engaged to go and meet the first years, and we'll sit down and go through, you know, talking about contemporary issues, and with some historical background.
Yes.
But I usually say to the groups at that time that what we're about to go through in the next hour or so is, you know, you can't really capture everything because. Some of these things, they're subjects and topics that are covered in a semester, say, for instance, if you're doing Indigenous studies at university. So we have to drill. Sometimes we can drill down to some issues.
Sure.
Other things we don't have time for and it'll be superficial. But that's part of their journey to learning and building their own cultural competency and capability.
So it shows it's very important to have PLOs at the table in regard to communication with our mob and dealing with the Queensland Police Service. Yes.
Yes.
So it's very important. I love in the Return to Country program. Look fantastic. Tony Barney, my brother, thank you very much for coming in. Great
thank
to see you again. Malise, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Nicole, bringing your mummy in. Yes.
Thank you for
that's really
us.
Good. Yes, my sister, too deadly. And do you ladies ever work together, like on the same day in in the same cop car? Does that work? Or?
Not at the moment, but to answer your question, a couple of years ago when Nicole was working in, well, the cross-cultural liaison unit where I currently work, and Nicole happened to be the acting sergeant.
Yeah. I was Mum's boss for a short
time.
There you go. I was getting around to saying that. No, it was good because we knew how to, you know, we knew how to
professional.
Keep it, yeah, professional and do business, and then when we walk out that door now, hey, what's for dinner?
Yeah, thank you. That's right, true. You're cooking tonight. I didn't like the way you talked to me just then. Too dead. Look, great talking to you with you, Mob. Thank you very much. Thank Fantastic. You. Good yarn. And look, we'll catch up soon on PLO. It's very important to working with QPS, and I think it's fantastic. And of course, the return to country. We'll catch up soon, my Mob. Take care. Keep smiling. We'll yarn soon, eh?
Thank you. Deadly. Take care, everyone. Bye.
All right. A beautiful yarn there. That's with PLO, Marlies Dalton, and also Tony Barney. And yarn in there with Senior Constable Nicole O'Rourke. And that Which Way Yarning program segment. Fantastic. And having that very deadly communication, that yarn, and talk about the work that's happening in that space. Stay tuned. Your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say. Yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the ball you on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it. BBM Bummer Brit Media. 8.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give the Murray call, let's have a yarn, you mob. 1-800-422-416.
Baka. Black sister, where you going, how you doing, where you been? I ain't seen you on the scene for a couple of weeks. By your means, stay on your own, you gotta do your thing. But please don't sell your soul for a couple of G's. Embrace your black skin and your race within. Your black fire, your blackness and your dark skin king. Raise strong black kids, forever's drugs in the bin. And you'll be bound to make your old people look at you and grin. Ha. Stand strong like the matriarchy. And titter, I'm higher than the stars can reach. You ain't gotta act different when it comes to me. I believe in your sister, take a walk with me. You're too deadly, sister, go and hang your head in the noose. I know you're sick and tired of dealing with the drugs and abuse. You're too strong, my sister, you know the deep of her roots. Black woman in a white man's world. It's tough, being sexualized is always left. That's enough, you worth more than getting treated like dirt. Show love and give your sisters what they truly deserve. Respect, we're sick and tired of getting treated as less. Saying that sex sells, but I got no products for pets. The way you treat your woman has you looking real oppressed. She got her law, you got yours, it's time to have it addressed. If she stands with you, then stand with her. Cause handing down this feeling is a bigger picture. Got nothing to do with your sexual preference. This is about our solidarity, that's it in question. So they grow up tough. Aim higher even though you grew up in hard knocks. And show your babies what it feels like when you're truly in love. And let me tell you something, you ain't defined by your past. They tried to judge me for it, look who gets to have a last laugh. Cause I go hard, throwing stones surrounded by glass. When get you nowhere, I ain't even ashamed of my scars. I'm a proud black sister, so don't ever get it twisted. They was aiming at my downfall, but they missed and turned to misfits. I'm really quite exquisite and my sisters keep a busy way. Rocking out our culture with our elders as our witness. Let me break it down so you get it stuck in your head. A black woman raised you, so don't you ever forget. And I ain't bagging out my brothers are warriors. But if you can't respect your titters, don't expect us to honor ya.